here with Mary Jane, and we are actually have the pleasure of spending a few minutes with Mr. Ben Queller, the House of Blues here in San Diego, California.
Even lucky man has a bad day, and pretty girl has a scar. After that train comes and takes me away, pick up that guitar and play.
The Ben Queller World Tour going so far?
It's going good. Right now we're doing the U.S. run, which we're calling the Trio on the Train Track Tour, because we're playing as a trio, bass, drums, and guitar, and I also have a piano up there. Chris Morrissey's on bass, and Mark Stepro's on drums, and it's going really good so far. We've been actually playing really long shows, like we've been doing. Because right now we're sort of co-headlining with Gomez, so we're playing before them, so I'm not doing as many songs, you know, but on the shows, like last night we played San Francisco by ourselves, and we played for like 2 hours, because kids kept requesting songs, and it's just been so fun, because now there's 3 albums, and so much material to go through, so it's really exciting.
So, Penny on the Train, your newest single, was rated by Rolling Stone as one of the top 100 singles of 2006.
Yeah.
Would you describe it as sort of this year, last year's On My Way?
Well, I love the song On My Way. Yeah, that's one of the best songs I ever wrote.
Oh, Mom, I never thought that I was a stealing man, but tonight I'm on my way. Tonight I'm on my way. I was sitting on the bleacher, staring at the speaker, reading his lips, but I could not understand. So I opened up my ears, and clearly I could hear this detailed story all about a grain of sand. Oh, Mom, I always dreamt of being a good listener. So tonight I'm on my way. Tonight I'm on my way.
Penny is definitely up there. It's one of my favorite songs that I've written. I was really honored when I saw that Rolling Stone thought it was good, you know. But it's always strange, you know, when you read stuff like that, because I actually try not to read too many magazines about music, because it sort of brings me back to school in a way, and like I feel like I'm being graded by teachers, and I'm not really into that kind of a thing. So, you know, but it's nice when they say good things, yeah. I mean, it made me feel happy, and my parents got a few copies, and they were all happy, and that's cool. Yeah.
So you've been writing songs since a pretty young age, like 8 or 9 years old, I understand. But do you have a defining moment in your life? Like when the big light bulb went off in your head, when you knew that you wanted to be a musician?
There actually was a total moment. And I was about 9 years old, and I was standing at my dad's turntable listening to All You Need Is Love. And the melody just made me cry, and I kept putting the needle back at the beginning and listening to it over and over again, and I didn't really understand the words much, you know, but I could just tell by the vocal melody and John Lennon's voice, I just broke down, and at that moment I said, I want to do this, I want to make other people cry because of music, you know, like I want to touch people in a way that this music's touching me, you know, happy, sad, whatever it is, but just emotionally. And so that's when I made the decision at 9 years old.
All right, so I read on your website that you've got some other hobbies, like bass fishing, and you like playing around on the computer. So how do you think your other hobbies influence your music, or do you try and keep them pretty separate?
Well, my music's about life, and so, you know, I'm sure that the things that I do go into my songwriting, you know. I love fishing and the outdoors and camping, and, you know, I talk about trees and the ocean and water and the sky and a lot of your elemental things, you know, and so I I mean, that sort of the great outdoors is a theme that I use a lot, you know. I've mentioned computers before. I mention everything, really. It's just life music in a way.
All right, we'll complete the paragraph or the sentence, whatever you feel like.
Okay.
Once upon a time, there was this guy named Ben.
Once upon a time, there was this guy named Ben. He was born in San Francisco, and when he was really little, only a few months old, his parents moved to Texas, and that's where he grew up. And he got really into music and loved Bruce Springsteen and the Beatles and danced around the room with his toy guitar. And he grew up to be a really nice guy, and family's really important to him. And he likes, well, I don't know. I could go on forever.
That's good enough. Thank you.
In the rain, we've been on the mountain, we've been around the fire, in fancy hotels, drink water from farm wells, we sang with the choir. I kissed your dry lips. We jumped off the high cliffs and splashed down below. Skin to skin in the salty river. Made love in the shadow.
I read that you enjoy playing Japan.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, why is Japan such a milestone for musicians in order to be well received there and to play there?
I think it's just because it's so foreign for us, you know, because it's like there's very few places on earth, I guess, that I've been to that are so different from America. Mm-hmm. You know, like nobody speaks English and you can't read anything, and it's just so different, and the culture is so different, you know, and everything about it is so foreign that I think that's what's really exciting for most people to go there, you know, because, like, even when you go to France, like, most people can speak, like, English, and you can get by, and you can kind of read the words because the spelling or letters we've seen, you know, but also, if you like Japanese food, which I love, that makes it really fun. That's one great thing about touring, is the cuisine and just, like, trying food from all over the world. But, yeah, it's just, it's a really fun place to play. The kids go crazy, and everybody's really respectful. Yeah, we could learn a lot from that culture, actually. It's great.
Great. All right, I understand you played all the instruments on your recent self-titled album, which is just completely fantastic. How did that compare to the way you recorded On My Way, where you and your band pretty much recorded live in one room?
Yeah, it was the complete opposite approach, and I guess, you know, there's a few paths that go up the same mountain, you know? It's just like religion, really, like the way you record music. There's all different approaches, and, you know, Prince does things differently than, you know, like Bob Dylan does, you know, and they still achieve really good things. And so I had fun on this new album being in the studio by myself, because there was something really fun about the solitude and just working with my own brain and just, like, sort of following my vision from point A to point B and being done. And but it was also a lonely experience at times, too, you know? And so I liked both of them. I think I prefer working with other humans more than just being in there alone. So I don't think I'm going to do it this way again right away. I'm going to let this album live on its own for a while as the album that I played all the instruments on, and I'm going to move on from that.
So in the past, you've had some of your tracks featured on movie soundtracks. How do you feel about your music being attached to movies?
Well, whenever a request comes in for, like, a placement in a movie, you know, I usually try to get a synopsis of the film, find out who's in it or who's directing it, and see if it's something that I believe in. You know, and if it sounds like it's going to be a cool movie, then I'm into it. And It's hard because you usually can't watch the movie before it comes out, you know, and I'm not a big enough artist to demand that kind of a service, you know. So it's sort of a leap of faith, you know, you hope it's going to turn out cool. That's what blows me away about movies, is that there's so many people involved, it just seems impossible that one vision could be continued from the beginning to the end, and it's really amazing. Like, I have a lot of respect for when you see a really good movie, because it just makes it makes making an album seem so easy and simple, you know.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I'm into my music being anywhere, you know, as long as it's, you know, something that I believe in. Like, I wouldn't want it to be like on like a Camel cigarettes commercial or something,
right.
You know. Which I don't even think they do anymore.
I think they
retired,
yeah.
Joe Cool.
I'm a soldier on the battlefield. Got an army on the battlefield. Outnumbered like the Alamo. I don't even wanna go. This is war. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is war. This is war. Stuck up in a daydream, can't focus on the other team. Hunted you all day and night, now I'm ready for a fight. This is war. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is war. This is war. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is war.
All right, now I'm gonna move on to an actual fan question.
Okay.
A fan by the name of Ellen. This is actually a two-part question,
okay.
So say hello to Ellen.
Hi, Ellen.
She wants to know, what instrument, besides the obvious, guitar, piano, drum, etc., would you most like to master?
Ooh. You know, I really want to master the harmonica, because I'm really a hack at the harmonica, and I've sort of, what I know is what I've figured out on my own, and so I'd really like to get lessons and really learn how to play blues harmonica. That'd be cool.
Cool. And the second part, would you mind wishing her friend Maria, who's turning 16, a happy, sweet 16th birthday?
Oh, happy birthday. What was her name?
Maria.
Should we all sing happy
Let's
birthday?
Let's do it. All right.
What's it? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Maria. I tried to harmonize on that, but I'm sorry.
I think that song is copyrighted, so
it
for
is.
The record, we will not be selling that recording of Happy Birthday with Ben Fuller.
In the past, you've been involved with a handful of bands. Do you see yourself participating in another sort of collective type band, or is it just sort of a solo career from here on out?
Well, I know, like, this band that I did with Ben Folds and Ben Lee, The Bends. I'm sure we're going to do more stuff, you know, down the road. I was actually talking to Ryan Adams a few weeks ago about maybe writing some songs and forming a band. I mean, you know, Ben Queller albums are Ben Queller albums, because that's what they are, but I'm always open to other projects and things, and also, I produce a lot of people's music, too. That's another thing I want to get into, is producing more.
So when you've got no other choice, you know you can follow my voice. Through the dark turns and noise of this wicked little town, 'cause it's a
Yeah, Pierre Guimard, he's a French artist, and he just got nominated for Best New Album in France. Yeah.
Well, I was actually going to ask about if there's any chance that the Bends will do some more work together,
yeah.
But I guess you've just got to
that. I think, we talk about it, so it's just a matter of time, really. Yeah.
People named Ben seem to be really cool like that.
Yeah, Ben's a good name.
It's a good name.
I like it.
All right, now here's a silly question, but I like to get in my silly questions because that's what makes us different from everybody else.
I love silly.
What was the first song you played air guitar to? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, it was definitely Born in the USA, for sure. I have footage of it, home video footage of me at 3 years old.
Oh, wow.
With my guitar.
So I'm actually kind of a Radish fan.
Okay.
So I was wondering, would you ever consider doing sort of a reunion gig?
Well, I've thought about it. And anything could happen, you know. But I do know that I have plans to release the unreleased album Discount Fireworks. So one day I'd like to put that out and maybe reissue all the Radish albums and maybe do a box set of some sort.
Uh-huh. I hope so.
Yeah.
Would you mind telling us about your bloody nose incident at the Austin City Limits Festival?
Yeah.
Or would you prefer not to revisit that?
No. it seems like I talk about it all the time, so I don't mind. It's okay. It was just an hour before the show at Austin City Limits, and I was in the back of the tour bus getting dressed, and I just felt something wet going down my nostril, and it was blood. And I've had nosebleeds before, but I never had one where it just started on its own. It's always because, like, I picked my nose or got hit in the face by a ball or something, you know what I mean? But this was just, like, it just started happening. And it's funny because a few days before, I told my wife, I was like, I hope I don't get a bloody nose because the AC was so cranked on the bus and so dry. And I kind of predicted it in a weird way. And so I just tried to stop it. I had an hour. I didn't think it would be such a big deal. But it just didn't stop. And it was coming out of both nostrils. And the paramedics came, and we tried so hard to stop the blood. And finally, the festival people were like, well, we can just cancel your set because you got to go to the hospital, you know? Like,
now, you played for a while, though, right?
I played as long as I could. But they wanted me to cancel, and I just told them that I had to go on because there was, like, 20,000 people out there, and I wasn't going to say Ben had a bloody nose, that's why he can't play. That's such a lame excuse. So I went on, and I just played as long as I could and asked the audience for a tampon to try to stop it. But then I ended up going to the hospital for 4 hours, so that's
oh, no.
But whatever.
So when you perform, do you have, like, certain moves you like to do, or Lucky Charm, or
rituals,
like a get-up you like to...
I've never been really good about routines, and so, like, taking vitamins and things, and so I don't have any kind of a pre-show ritual other than getting nervous and getting butterflies and just sort of pacing around the room and becoming really neurotic, I guess.
If you were a cartoon character, who would you be?
You know, I think Plastic Man. Because I used to watch him a lot, and he could, like, go under doors and stuff, and that was really cool. But it'd be cool to be invisible, obviously. That's, I guess, one of the best things to be, if you could be that.
I was wondering if you would care to elaborate on your feelings towards Axl Rose.
Well, I met him once, and he was just kind of a dick to me in a way. Like, I went up to him and said hi, and I extended my hand, and he just walked right by me. And it was at a party with, like, 10 people there, so it was just really bizarre. But I was like 15 years old too, and he could have been nicer. But I've hung out with Slash a bunch, and he's really cool. So I can totally see why Slash and Axl don't get along. This one's not a good guy, you know.
Well, I've got two more questions on my list. What's your favorite thing about Texas and your least favorite thing about Texas?
Well, my favorite thing about Texas is the weather and the lakes, the lake water in the summertime and rivers, floating down rivers and swimming in the lake and fishing. And then my least favorite is the amount of closed-minded people that just, and it's really not their fault, it's just they haven't been exposed to much, you know, outside of their small town. And so there's a lot of people that don't realize that there's many ways to live in the world. That's all. That bums me out.
I always ask my musicians the same three questions, so I can just get a short response from you on them.
Okay.
Is there a slang term that you overuse or something you say too often you wish you didn't?
Yeah, I definitely probably say dude and the F word way too much.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Do you have a drink of choice?
I like scotch with one rock. I like margaritas with salt around the rim and Bloody Marys with salt around the rim. I really like different, like, micro-brewed root beer.
Uh-huh.
And I like really strange drinks, like Vietnamese drinks. There's this Vietnamese drink called Salty Plum Soda that's, like, got these sour plums in them, and it's really salty and sour and sweet at the same time. I love weird drinks. So the weirder the drink, the better for me.
And lastly, how do you feel about eyeliner?
I've worn it before a bunch. In the Radish days, I used to, like, wear makeup sometimes. We, like, went glam at one point. And I guess eyeliner's, it's got its place in the world.
Okay.
I don't have anything against it.
Okay.
Very good. You're at peace with it.
Yeah, I'm at peace with eyeliner, you know. Lipstick's a little cooler, but, you know, it's probably been around longer and,
right.
You know, it takes up more room. So it's like,
it's messier.
It's got more of a message, I guess, lipstick, you know.
Okay.
Right, and our last question, and I ask everyone I interview this, will you please give us your best pirate impression?
Arr, matey! What do you know? And you know my pirate joke.
No,
you probably
tell us
heard
your pirate
it.
Joke.
Well, so the pirate walks into the bar with the steering wheel from his ship down his pants. Have you heard this one?
I might have, but
yeah.
I might have been drunk and can't
okay.
remember.
So he's got the steering wheel from his ship down his pants, and the bartender says, "Hey, pirate, why is the steering wheel from your ship down your pants?" And he says, "Arr, it's driving me nuts."
Oh, that's
my bad pirate joke. It was kind of cute.
I love it. It was cute.
Know?
Yeah.
And it's like, have you seen the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie? It's rated R.
You just fall
pirates
on.
Were like, that was going around like 2 years ago, man.
You should consider a current comedy.
So okay I'm thinking
right
about
now.
It.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah.
You know, I'm working on getting an agent right now.
If the music thing doesn't work out
right.
for you, then...
Comedy. Here I come. The next Eddie Murphy.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Queller.
Oh, thank you, guys.
In your arms, nothing can bring me down. Nothing.